quiz. A quiz on Dorchester and Dorset. My name's Alistair Chisholm and I'm going to act as quizmaster, and I'm delighted to say that in front of me are two teams, and I will allow them to introduce themselves. First of all, the team to my left.
We're the Old Fossils. My name is Linda Polson, and I'm married to my teammate,
Rodney.
Fantastic. So Linda and Rodney to my left, and to my right, the team is...
We're the Arty Artists, and I'm Alistair, and this is Kathy on my left.
Very good. Very good. So we've got two Alistairs, a Rodney, a Kathy, and a Linda. Splendid. Well, look, we can't hang around, but can we just hear the sound of your buzzers, please? So the Fossils first. And now the art... Well, it was Arty Artists, wasn't it?
Well, the Artists.
Oh, very good.
The artist is fine.
Very good. And can we hear your buzzer? Very good. Did you catch that, ladies and gentlemen? Quite distinct. Now, we're going to ask some questions, very simple questions, because we don't want to make it too difficult. And the first team to buzz will be given the first opportunity to answer. If they answer correctly, they will get a point. If they fail to answer correctly, I will offer it to the other team for what I'm going to call, in my novel way, a bonus point. Yes. Okay, so fingers on buzzers. Rodney, on buzzers. Are we ready? The first question. In what year did Queen Victoria come to the throne?
1837.
Correct, Rodney. Of course, amongst the four of them sitting there, he is the only one who actually remembers it. So that's one point to the Fossils. All right. I am now getting nothing short of a dangerous glare from Rodney. Very good. The next question is much, much easier. How many years before the coming to the throne of Queen Victoria were the Tolpuddle Martyrs tried? Alistair, from the Artists.
Six.
No, that would make it 1831, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yep.
37.
Yes.
3 years.
So
they were tried in 1834, and Queen Victoria came to the throne in 1837.
Well done, Linda. Knowledge and arithmetic. Fantastic. So that's two to the Fossils. So at the halfway stage... Oh, is it? Oh, no, I think we're going to go on a bit longer. No, it's 2-0 at the moment. So we could say the Fossils have a commanding lead over the Artists. But there's a lot more to come. On to question three. Yes. Whose motto is Who's Afeard? Oh, I think that was a dead heat. My electronic gadget... No, I think in this case, Alistair was just ahead, so the Artists have it this time. Whose motto is Who's Afeard?
Dorset County Council.
Did you want to add to that?
No.
All right. Would the Fossils like to add to that answer? It is quite correct. It is the motto of Dorset County Council.
So we'll have our point then.
But it is also the motto of something else.
It's the... The Dorset Regiment, wasn't it?
Nope.
No, that was Plymouth and Indus.
Oh, yes, of course it was.
No. Well, I shall give you a point, the Artist.
Alistair, it's the Town Crier's motto.
It's the Town Crier's motto. No, it's not the Town Crier's, but what a good idea. Time for a motto. We'll give you a point there, because it is indeed the motto of the Dorset County Council, but it is also the motto of the Society of...
Dorset Men.
Of Dorset Men. Yes. But we'll give you the point, because we're feeling generous, and you're a bit behind, and we want to have a good match. Right, on to question four. All right, on to question four. Yes. I'd like to see which team can give me, from memory, the first line of William Barnes's famous poem, My Orchard in Linden Lee. Everybody knows this. It's one of the most famous poems that Barnes ever wrote. What is the first line?
I think we'll wait for you to do it for us, Alistair.
No, is it? No. Now, Linda's looking as though she it is there somewhere at the back of her mind.
I know bits from it, but I can't remember the first one.
Well, I tell you what, for half a mark from either team, who can give me a line from any one of the three verses of William Barnes' poem, My Orchard in Linden Lea?
Yeah. Where for me, the Linden Lea, do lean down low in... No, where for me, the Linden Tree, do lean down low in... Something along those lines.
I think a half a mark there.
In darkened rooms. Oh, gosh.
I think, Linda, I think you're, I'd stop there. I'd stop there.
Very impressive. It's just the one that we don't know.
That's right. It is the one line. No, but yes, every verse finishes up with that. You know, where for me the apple tree to lean down low in Linden Lea. I'll give you half a mark for that. The first line, incidentally, which of course we'll come back to as soon as I mention it, is in the woodlands, flowery gladed, by the woke tree's mossy moot, and so on and so forth. Yes, they're both looking shattered there. Right. Now we're nearly onto another question. Fingers on buzzers. Rodney. Thomas Hardy, his father and mother, all played fiddles. Thomas' grandfather was leader of the Puddletown Church Band. What instrument did he play?
Bass viol.
I believe you're correct. What would we call it today?
We call it the double bass. Would we?
Cello.
Cello?
Cello. 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 Yes. Correct. Okay. The bass viol, the cello. Well done. That's another point to the artist. And now they are almost, but not quite, neck and neck. 2.5 plays 2. Let's move on to... Oh, yes. On the same sort of subject... Dorchester Museum contains an exhibit of a humstrum. What is it? The fossils.
It's a very primitive violin type thing made out of a cocoa tin on a little wooden platform with a couple of strings going across the top.
A cocoa tin with a couple of strings going across. A homemade string.
It's a homemade string. Zithery violin-y.
Zithery violin-y kind of.
A little song humstrumming we go as we come down the hill or something. Go with it.
Oh, Rodney was literally going, absolutely correct, absolutely correct.
I think you'd expect Rodney to know that, wouldn't you, as a the former assistant curator of the museum?
Are you suggesting
assistant?
Well, you've got to give the man a chance to shine. I mean, so 3.5 plays 2.
Can I tell you a little song that they used to sing that would be accompanied by it?
Or by a humstrum, yes, do, yeah, Linda, do.
We're off to Martin's Town Fair to see Sally with her black hair. And you can bet she won't forget to kiss and cuddle if it comes on wet. With her old rush basket and umber shoot, we're off to Martin's Town Fair. And you can imagine the humstrum being used to accompany that.
Fantastic.
Oh, I like that. Oh, but absolutely. Oh, wonderful. We did enjoy it. We did enjoy that. Right, we shall deduct half a mark from the fossils for that. Well, I mean, you know, this is supposed to be a quiz. It's not a variety show. And so we'll add one to the other. So now 3.5 plays, 2.5. We don't want them getting ideas. Right, on to another question here. Right. Now, the Greek Xenodokium, right, is written somewhere on an old building in Dorchester. Where is it and what does it mean? Xenodokium. Shall I spell it for you?
Yes,
would that help you?
It didn't make any difference at all.
Linda thinks it will. So for Linda of the Fossils, we shall spell it. It's Xenodokium. I did say written. Would it help if I were to give you a little more information and say it is carved on an old building in Dorchester?
I'm going to make it.
Yes. Rodney from the Fossils.
This is a sheer guess, but I think it's on the Old Shire Hall.
No, it's not on the Old Shire Hall.
Can I make a guess?
Would you like to have a guess from the artist?
No.
I've said it's an old building in Dorchester. I'll give you a little bit of help because you are falling behind a bit. It is older than the Shire Hall, this building.
Oh, I've got it.
Oh.
Oh.
Yes, well, I think the artists were way ahead that time. No doubt about
it. It's on the wall of Barclays Bank.
It's on the wall of... It is not on the wall of Barclays Bank.
Or was it Woolworths?
No, no, no. Go on, Linda, you had one final. It's got, can you go and have a go?
Is it the Roman townhouse?
Is it? No, it's not in the Roman townhouse, no. I think we're going to have to abandon this question. Yeah. It is carved onto the wall of Napa's Mite.
Oh, really?
Of course it is.
Ah, now it's all coming and flooding back to you. It is currently not terribly visible because it's behind a line of spirit bottles.
Now we know where it came from.
You see, yeah, that's why
And what does it mean?
And Xenodopium, it's found there, and it is, what does it mean? It means, as if the quizmaster doesn't know.
Alistair Chisholm was here, yes.
No, it doesn't mean, no, it means, rest and live a long, long life, and what does it mean? There you are, you see?
Pilgrims and Wanderers.
Pilgrims and Wanderers.
And who put it there?
Xenodocium. It was put there early on when and he had it put on there earlier because it was the longest word he ever learned to say. Xenodocium. And he was so pleased that he was able to say it without stuttering in it, because not many people know that, but Sir William Napier? Robert Napier. Anyway, the fellow who founded Napa's Mite did have a bit of a stutter. And when he finally was able to say Xenodocium without stuttering, he was so pleased they carved it on the fireplace. And not many people know that. Oh, certainly none of you, anyway. Very good. Right, on to question 3.5 plays 2.5, and it's getting really tense here. We are, by the way, listeners, in a tiny little studio, and the temperature has gone up to about 90 degrees now, and we're sitting in an increasingly deep puddle. there are some nerves here. Anyway, onto another question. Here in Dorchester, we have a great deal of history, and indeed we have a great deal of pre-history. When they were building the Waitrose supermarket, we've got some answers before the question. Alistair, you were first.
This is a question about the Woodhenge that was found underneath Waitrose.
It is a question now, about that.
I know the answer to this because I've been learning my history of Dorchester from the new postcards which are about to come out of the Dorchester Tapestry, the wonderful tapestry just completed last year, currently on display in the County Library over the course of the festival. And I'm in the process of producing the postcards of the tapestry. So I've learnt 7 paragraphs of history about Dorchester.
Fantastic.
And I can tell you that the Woodhenge, found when they built Waitrose, a mile in circumference, a large number of tree trunks about a metre across, and this was a Neolithic henge.
Was indeed. The question... I'm very, very impressed with that. I'm massively impressed. In fact, I'm going to give you half a mark just for that. But the question I was going to ask about that huge wooden henge monument was...
And you can see it in the car park.
And you can see it in the car park at the bottom of Waitrose, indeed. Well, at least the marks where the huge trees stood, certainly. What the question was going to be, how many in total is it estimated there were of these tree trunks to form that massive henge? Yes.
I think when they excavated, because they never finished excavating the one at, which you could only do a small bit because it was in town, but Mount Pleasant had a huge henge excavated in 1972 by Wainwright, and that had about, I think it was 1,500 oak trees.
Yeah, but what about the Waitrose one?
It was 1,000 in Waitrose.
Well, we don't know. Well, we don't know because it was never excavated fully.
But it was estimated, wasn't it? Given the amount of curve that was excavated in Greyhound Yard, which was the name of the excavation, wasn't it, at Waitrose, an estimate was made about the number of trees that would have formed the complete...
A forest.
A forest is the answer. No. You said 1,500 at Mount Pleasant, but that's a different henge.
Different henge, but similar size.
Different henge, similar size, and you think 1,500.
What about 1,000?
Yeah. Right.
I think we think 1,000.
You think 1,000. Well, if we're going to give Mark... neither of you are correct. According to the book that I've read, Mind you, that was the one that I wrote. No. But seriously, no, it is estimated, on the information in the car park, it is estimated there were between 500 and 600 posts for that Greyhound Yard henge. Mm. So I'm going to give... you had half a mark for all that information that you had, the Alistair, for the artists, and I'll give you a quarter of a mark, I think, for the mentioning the name of a completely irrelevant henge, but another one of these amazing things in Dorchester, Mount Pleasant. Very good. So we have a very interesting score here of 3 3/4 playing 3. Oh, this is getting exciting, isn't it? It's probably time for the ad now, isn't it? No. This is real radio. This is festival radio. We don't do advertising. Right. I'm going to give you some initials now, and I want you to think of what they might stand for. I mean, it could be loads of different things, obviously. But with a Dorchester association. Okay. And the initials are TMOC. Yes.
The Mayor of Casterbridge.
Brilliant, Cathy. Absolutely brilliant. You see, you've been sitting there quietly, knowing that your question was going to come up, and it's come up. Thanks for the fiver. Right. Let's have another one. Yes. I'm going to mention somebody's name. He's an historical... Yeah, I've already told you it's male. He's an historical personage, but he acquired a term was used about this man, and everybody knows about it because you've been doing your work, haven't you? I'll give you this fella's name, and I want to know what he was known by as. The name is, fingers on buzzers, the name is John White. Alistair, yes.
John White, he was the man who was responsible partly for the Napper's Mite, I think, and the grammar school, and the one of the Pilgrim Fathers' boats to America. Reverend John White, feisty Puritan rector of Dorchester.
Now, this is splendid information that we're getting from Alistair. I'm most impressed. This
and
is
you'll
a tribute,
see his
isn't it,
picture
to the...
on one of the postcards of the tapestry.
Exactly. I mean, studying the tapestry has given you an enormous amount, and they are wonderful panels. I mean, I would commend anybody, if you haven't seen the Dorchester Tapestry, celebrating 700 years of the town as the county town, do go and see them. And they're in the library, you say?
They are in the library,
so do go and see them. That was tremendously informative. And again, I'm going to give you half a mark just for general knowledge, but you didn't actually answer the question, because there was a term that was used and is used about the Reverend John White. He is sometimes known as... Yes?
The Rector of Holy Trinity.
He was the Rector of Holy Trinity and indeed St. Peter's. No, he has a title. No, I'm surprised with the depth of knowledge facing me here to my left and to my right that you didn't know that John White is often referred to as the Patriarch of Dorchester. Now, does it all come flooding back to you now?
Yes,
indeed,
yes.
Yeah.
So he held, from heaven, I think.
He held a role similar to the role that you hold today.
but he was paid. Yes, the Patriarch, often referred to as the Patriarch of Dorchester, but he did all those other things, absolutely. He yes, indeed. Tremendous fellow. Well, for a nice, easy point here, where is he buried? Yes, Alistair, from the artist.
Holy Trinity Churchyard?
Nope.
St. Peter's?
St. Peter's, I can only give you... Can you be more specific?
In the church. He's...
he's can
under
you be
a stone,
more specific
he's under a
than
stone
in
the church.
He is indeed under a stone in the church. Do you know where, Alistair?
No, but I've probably walked over his grave.
Not in front of the altar. No,
is it one of the side aisles?
Not in the side aisle.
Well, now, come on, we're being a bit picky here. I mean, we got in the church, so, I mean, surely that's good enough for a point.
All right, well, I...
Well, I got St. Peter's.
Okay, I'm going... Yeah, that's right. Well, I think it's half a mark for St. Peter's and half a mark for in the church, but the answer is actually in the porch. So as you go into St. Peter's, you are standing on the tomb of the Patriarch of Dorchester, the Reverend John White, and up on the left-hand side is a plaque telling you some of his... some of his exploits.
That's true humility. Be walked over every time. That is really laying yourself down.
Amen.
Amen. Absolutely. Yes, true. Oh, shit. Very good. Very, very good. Can you tell me the name, and this is part one of a two-part question, can you give me the name of the artist who sculpted the martyr statue?
Elizabeth Frink.
Elizabeth Frink.
Dame Elizabeth Frink.
Dame Elizabeth Frink.
The Chidduck Martyrs, executed in Dorchester for their faith. What else do you want to know?
I think it commemorates more than just the Chidduck Martyrs, in fact, doesn't it?
I think it's the Chidduck Martyrs.
Well, I'm sure they are amongst
them.
I thought there were a series of martyrs at different points.
Denominations.
Yeah. Yes, that's right. Yes. And what is strange then? Okay, well, there's a point there for Alistair. This panel writing, reading is come along the force. I think I can't add up now. I've got so many different points here.
Prisoners of conscience. Like yes, I think.
Prisoners of conscience. And what is, well, I tell you, as a second part to that question, what is actually depicted in the, what is being depicted in the three figures?
Well, but you've got a hangman.
Yes.
You've got a hangman, and you've got two from each major faith. One from each faith, a major faith, I think.
You've got the victim, the hangman.
Interesting. Well, I've always...
This wasn't not one of the happier occasions in Dorchester's history.
No, indeed.
Really, was it?
But I've always understood... I'm not sure about that. I like the idea of the hangman and, you know, a Catholic and a Protestant or something facing...
It's right by Gallows Hill, isn't it?
It is on Gallows Hill, yes indeed, down in the southeast corner of the Roman town. But I've always understood them, her sculpture, to be depicting two prisoners of conscience, two people who died for their faith, facing the figure of death, rather than the hangman. So I don't think anybody gets... Well, maybe I should give myself a point for that.
Very good.
If assuming I'm correct. And what was... Just one very quick
point for saying that she had her studio in Dorset. What's the name of the place, Rodney, where she had a studio?
She had a studio in Dorset.
Giles, was it? Wimborne St Giles?
No, it was
sort of near Bullborough.
Bullborough, if you go down the hill.
Beyond Bullborough.
Yes.
I actually saw her in a studio on one occasion.
And you saw her in her studio?
Mm.
And what was strange about her name?
Spelt with an S.
Oh, Alice, that was good, isn't it? Very good, very good. Quicker. So that's one more to the artists, and it's high time the fossils got some. I think you probably got a half a point there for something.
A bit free with the points there for the other team.
Well, yeah, but look at their age.
They're the brainy buffs.
But they're not quick like you are, and they haven't been studying the daughter to panels, you know, every day for 7 days. Please, can I have the name of the architect of the old Dorchester Hospital?
Yes.
Benjamin Ferry.
Benjamin Ferry, correct.
And he laid out Bournemouth as well.
Very good. That's one mark to the fossils.
Oh, and All Saints Church he built as well.
There was going to be a supplementary question, which... yes, well, you've rather taken it away. I was going to say, name me another building that he had... Well, apart from the ones you've mentioned...
The Corn Exchange.
I think they're away with that. I think we're going to have to give them another quarter there for just
give a quarter.
We've got a quarter, yes. But I'm going to give you a quarter for patiently listening to them going on and on and on, and not interjecting with your own buildings that you know of that were designed by Benjamin Ferry. Very good. It is the year 1685. Yes.
Monmouth Rebellion.
Judge Jeffreys.
That's not fair because we haven't asked a question.
They're
preempted.
Soldiers from Sedgemoor marched to Dorchester in chains, locked up in Dorchester prison. County assizes in Dorchester before Judge Jeffreys, bloody assizes. Some of them were hanged and drawn and quartered, and some of them weren't. Anymore?
Oh, there's a head. There was a spike.
Yep. In the museum.
There was a spike on St Peter's Church porch, but they put the heads on, or one head on.
Yeah. Well, they decorated St Peter's outside, so it looked rather like coconuts on top of a throwing shy, you know, with all the heads all along. But people got so fed up with the smell, they transported them to America. Well, not the dead ones, the live ones. They sent off to America. But you know, there's a very interesting
It's another
story
cheery episode in the dance history.
Because it was Monmouth.
Monmouth, yes.
And do you know, there's a little story there which I don't think many people know. Because when Monmouth was young, he was actually told that he would die by the Rhine.
Die by the Rhine?
And he thought he'd have no problems, you see, attacking, because Rhine's in Germany. Yes. What he forgot... the little narrow waterways across Sedgemoor Mars are called Rhines.
Ah.
Yes. That got him.
Is there a rhyme about the Rhine?
Probably.
There will be in time. Yes, there will be in time.
It's boring as the other side.
Exactly. I think I'm going to take one mark off each side there for rambling far too much and giving us a lot of unnecessary information.
Now, I thought you were going to ask us how many people actually died in the from after the Bloody Assizes, because it probably wasn't as many as widely thought. A number were executed.
Yeah, they could make more money at sending them to the plantations.
But more were sent to the plantations.
The knowledge of these two teams is leaving me... I'm absolutely dumbstruck. And I don't think I dare take anybody round the town again, because I'm suddenly realising how little I know.
I think the land...
The
gentry complained about the smell.
The smell, yes, there was. Yes. But it was a nasty episode. It was a very nasty... And what was it known as?
The Monmouth Rebellion.
The Monmouth Rebellion was known as the Monmouth Rebellion.
Bloody Assizes.
And it was called the...
Bloody Assizes.
The Bloody Assizes, that's right. Yes, that's right. And because it was really rather... right, now here are some... very good. I'm wondering if you can give me... I'll tell you what.
Well, and of course, the room in which the Bloody Assizes was held, of course, is still there, and we all enjoy going there for a cup of tea occasionally, don't we?
Oh, Chopper Town Cafe.
That's the one.
It's one of the earliest porter cabins, isn't it? No. What is the place called? In fact, it's called the.
Name's gone right out of my head.
It was part of the antelope.
Antelope, yes.
And it's now called the old
tea rooms.
That's right. Lovely old panelled building, yes, indeed. But if you're sitting quietly having a cup of tea, and you suddenly
you can hear,
hear
the creaking of the chains and the groans.
And Judge Jeffries is walled up there.
And he's walled up there, isn't there? So, yeah, and if you hear... best leave quietly. very good. What do David Jennings and Martha Brown have in common? Yes.
They were both hung.
At Dorchester Jail.
We now have one team of four, because they're working beautifully together. Well, you've both restored your point there. They were both hung, yes, but there's more to it than that. Well, there can't be much more to it, and it's kind of a terminal thing, isn't it?
But Martha was the Miss Birdsmaid murderess.
Birdsmore Gate
murderess.
She was and charged she was, with murdering her husband at Birdsmore Gate, right, correct,
and,
yes.
And Thomas Hardy
saw her hanging from a distance.
Well, he
saw
was quite...
he wasn't hanging from it, he was. No, he saw her.
He made a point of going to see her execution, didn't he?
That's right.
He was witnessed by Hardy.
You can't give me a date, I suppose. Either team.
Yeah, 1834.
That is the date, but that was from the earlier question, Alistair. That was so. But I'm glad you're learning as we go along. That was a toll part of Martha's, wasn't it? The date of Martha Brown's execution, witnessed by if I tell you, 16-year-old Thomas Hardy.
1856.
Fantastic! Fantastic, Cathy. She just lurks there, doesn't she? Waiting for the one... Brilliant, yes. He was born 1840, so he was 16 years old when he witnessed the execution of Martha Brown. But you still haven't answered the question.
Hardy has a sort of... he had a horrible fascination with the fact that the poor woman, as she was hung, her clothes were sort of rather swirling around, and the hangman had to reascend the podium to fasten her dresses in a more decorous way around her body. But I think Hardy describes the way in which the rain, the damp rain that was falling, wetted the mask that was over her face.
The hood,
and so
yes,
her
yes.
features sort of appeared to come through, and it made quite an impression on Hardy.
Didn't Tess come out of that?
Well, there are, yes.
There are links, clearly, between that execution and the final sad end of Tess. Yes,
and I think it had...
But you haven't answered the question.
Sorry, what is the question?
I asked you, what do David Jennings and Martha Brown have in common, apart from, you said they were both hung, or hanged. Yes, indeed. There's something else, then.
For poisoning?
No, not for poisoning.
No, she used the hatchet, didn't she?
A death mask? Is there a death mask?
No, I'm not aware that there are death masks of those two particular victims. No, there are death masks, of course.
No idea.
Well, to the best of our knowledge, David Jennings was the last man to be hanged in Dorset, and Martha Brown was the last woman to be hanged in Dorset. So I'm afraid I get another mark, and you don't get
any. But didn't we do well?
Oh, extremely well, extremely well. Right, now, I wonder if you can name, well, I'm sure you can, at least three things for which Sir Frederick Treves is famous. Very good.
He operated...
this is the fossils answering, and this is
famous operation, yeah. He operated on...
the king.
The king for appendicitis. That was Bertie, was his name? After
Edward VII,
he befriended or became very interested in the elephant man, the man who had that terribly contorted skull.
Correct.
And the other thing is he's buried in a cemetery in Dorchester.
And he wrote Highways and Byways of Dorset.
Reputedly his amputation saw for cutting off bones.
And his amputation saw is in the museum.
Reputedly in the museum.
But not on display.
Not on display.
Well, I was going to give you, you know, one mark for that, but you actually told me four things about him,
so
and I only
marks.
Wanted to know three.
Oh.
All right, so I'm afraid I'm going to deduct a quarter of a mark for showing off. Okay, so you get three quarters for that. I'm just wondering if the artist I know you knew all that, but can you add anything else and maybe give yourself a half a mark for something to do with Treves? Sir Frederick Treves.
There's a road named after him.
Kathy, very good. There is a road named after him. That's a quarter of a mark.
And he wrote a book on travellers through the Far East.
And he lived in South Street, where there used to be a wonderful old-fashioned store. With the glass-fronted doors.
Wait a minute, yes, it was in by
near the top
Thurman's,
of South Street.
Thurman's.
No.
You're getting this wrong.
He lived for a while.
He did live he was born in South Street, wasn't he?
Yeah.
There is a plaque that actually today is to be found between Costa and Vodafone.
Yes.
I mean, how ancient
how
can you
the mighty
can
fallen?
You get?
It's in an arch. It's in an arch.
No, it's not in a, not in an arch. No.
I'm thinking another.
No,
I think you might be thinking about the Pounceys.
I think it's the alternative.
The Pounceys in a shop window, the Abbey, or something, isn't it? No, never mind. We won't get confused there. Well, I'm just going to have to hand over to the delectable Samantha to add up the scores because I can't. But I'll do that in a minute when I've asked the next question. And the next question is really quite a challenging one, and it is how many of the Tolpuddle martyrs returned and stayed in Dorset. Oh, I think that's... Okay, it's difficult because there's only one syllable in the answer. Do you want to give it... Now, I'm going to give you a mark for generosity there because that's one mark to the artists because they I was finding it difficult to decide who pressed the buzzer first, but Alistair of the Artist was so honest, he pointed to the fossils. So he gets a mark for kindness and decency, and we go over to the fossils for the answer.
And do I get a mark for brevity as well, if I just say one?
If you stop talking, you just answer the question, you might. Yes.
One
what? What was the question?
One Tolpuddle martyr returned to Dorset.
Correct.
And settled permanently.
Correct.
Which
and,
was...
And a bonus, his name was...
James
Hammett.
Bryan. No, James Hammett.
It was James Hammett.
It was James Hammett. Well done, Alistair.
I can add...
I
said James Bryan.
That's right.
It wasn't Bryan, it was Hammett.
No, it was James Hammett.
Very, 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 very
good. Quite
very
a few of them went to London, Ontario, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
Very good.
Yes.
Is this excess information?
No.
Am I going to have to take that quarter off from the artists for being boastful? Very good. I would like to know the year in which the Roman baths were partially excavated. Rodney from the fossils.
1978.
1978 is correct. But it was such an easy question, you only get a quarter of a mark for that. Because it looks to me as though... Anyway... I don't know, actually, you need more than that. We'll make that a half a mark. Very good. But I'm just looking in the rule book here, and it does allow me to... yeah, I can give you half a mark for that. Right, on to the next question. Yes, in what year did the first railway arrive in Dorchester? Oh, absolutely together. I think the fossils just had it by one ammonitic ring.
1847.
Correct.
But of course it didn't get to Weymouth until the Great Western in 1857.
Because of William Barnes.
Because we're celebrating the 150th anniversary this year. Yeah, and of course, Parson Barnes, a.k.a. Alistair Chisholm, as we well know, went on the platform of Dorchester West Station to argue the toss with
Mr. Brunel. Absolutely. Well, I think, I mean, that is
on
such
that
a
very
superb...
memorable occasion earlier this year.
Absolutely. And because you mentioned my name, you're going to get a bonus. right. So,
Barnes, who preserved
Monbury Ring.
Without his good offices, Monbury Ring would have been destroyed by the railway.
Yeah, what on earth is
another henge gone?
What is Monbury Rings? I've never heard the term.
And it's not rings, it's ring.
It's ring.
Ring.
Why is it referred to as Monbury Rings?
Because people pronounce it wrong. It's a ring. But actually, it's a henge.
It's Monbury Henge, really.
Monbury Henge Ring.
Well, we got it all wrong. So this year's festival,
you could call it
Dorchester Festival from Monbury Henge.
Yes.
From Monbury Henge. Just say Henge, isn't it? And it's all fun. It's a prehistoric henge, it says, that big
and
banner.
And it was excavated in 1911.
And it was excavated in 1911. How old were you then, Rodney?
I was only about 12.
When you were to a fantastic
and anybody
fantastic.
Who's interested in the arrival of the railway would be interested to see the fantastic well dressing at Upway Wishing Well, which they've done on the theme of the railway arriving in Weymouth. And there's a wonderful picture in the well dressing of the first train arriving at Weymouth in 1857.
I think
it's
that's
quite spectacular. And worth a visit.
Well worth a visit to the Upway Wishing Well.
Yeah, it'll be there and they finished
the train.
No, the dressing, the picture of
the
it.
The dressing.
It'll be there for a few more weeks.
It'll be there for a few more weeks. Oh, good. Well, I think it's probably worth a... it's worth a quarter, isn't it, that bit of information. Right. Now, I would like, in this next round, each team to ask the other team a question about Dorchester or Dorset. And first of all, and you've got to think of the question pretty fast, because I'm not going to hang about, I would like the fossils to ask the artists a question. Not too difficult, one which you think they should, given their standing, be able to answer.
Can we think about it and come back to that one
later?
You
want to come back? Okay, fine.
We've got ours.
Well, in that case, the artists will ask the fossils a question. And the question is?
The question is, in the 18th century in Dorchester, there was a famous character who walked around the town and was well known for walking around the town with his pet sheep. Oh. And I wonder if they can tell me what the name of the sheep was.
Caroline.
Correct. Very good. Excellent.
How extraordinary. Well, there's a thing. That's amazing. And well, very good.
The man was actually Nathaniel Seal, and he was well known also for wearing a hedgehog skin hat because he got fed up with people patting him on the head when they sealed a bargain. He thought if he had the prickles from the hedgehog skin, that would put a stop to that particular practice.
So they sort of set on the nail, as they do in Bristol. They would just use his head to...
Yes, because he was a short man, apparently.
It's actually thought that he probably had several pet sheep named Caroline because it went on for quite a long time. The relationship between him and Caroline is slightly hazy, so better cast a veil over that, I think.
But he also... he also got very upset when there was a market on, and I think that confiscate the hurdles and stuff that were used to contain the sheep. And I think he beat a retreat to Damer's Barn, as in Damer's Road. The barn was at the bottom there. And he barricaded himself in. And when the town beadle came and demanded to have these hurdles back again, I think Nathaniel was busy hurling live bee skeps, which were beehives, at the poor old beadle. So that's worth a mark, isn't it?
I haven't had it up yet to see whether you're worth another one.
I bet he didn't think that we'd be still discussing him and his pet sheep 200 years later.
Absolutely not, no. Isn't Caroline the name of the Dorchester giant as well?
Yes.
Yes, that's right.
Yes.
Right, interesting.
But she's not a sheep.
No.
But she's not a sheep.
Victorian
lady. That gives me another question.
Are we allowed to ask the other team?
We knew they knew the answer.
You knew they knew, exactly. I hope they're going to be
such an easy one.
And I hope they're going to be as kind to you. Yes, go ahead, Fossils.
Whose name is commemorated as the donor of the clock in the Borough Gardens?
A clock in the Borough Gardens.
The big Victorian imperial edifice.
Dennis Holmes was shitting for not knowing this, won't he? Is it Mr. Pansy?
No. Do you want to try another one?
Oh. Your age is
feeling Hardy. Is it a Hardy?
Strange semaphore.
He's writing in the air, but I can't read his semaphore. No, can't. Harrison, Hans.
Sloan.
Mr. Hansford of Hansford Farms, that's the one.
I knew you knew. It was far away there. Absolutely.
Years ago, I did go to Hansford Farms up at on the Piddle Hinton Road and had a very interesting farm visit because it was in the days when they had a lot of pigs there. And all of the slurry from the pigs went into an enormous digester. And the gas came out.
What was his name? Sorry.
This is Hansford Farms. 5,000 pigs or something. A lot of pigs. And just connected to the top of the digester, there was a pipe coming out. The pipe went into a diesel engine, and the diesel engine generated all the electricity. And so it produced enough electricity for all of the farm and several homes in the village as well. Quite impressive. So while we have solar power and wind power in Piddle Hinton, then they had pig power, and I thought that was pretty good.
Well, I think that's a very interesting story, and you know, that's definitely worth a half a mark. I mean, actually, I must say, the penny's only just dropped that Hansford in Hansford Farms, which you still see dotted around the place, you know, is actually the same as Hansford as in the clock tower.
You gave the fountain as well.
And the fountain as well.
He was quite a benefactor, wasn't he?
Yeah, and the band and the balcony in the county museum.
And the balcony in the county museum.
He must have been. It's flushing it out all over the place. Buying votes, I expect.
Well, yes indeed. Yes, I mean, there were reasons sometimes for this benefit. I don't think you would know. He was more sensible than that. He was much more sensible than that. Right, so you've each asked each other questions, and now he says, I'm getting a signal from behind the tiny little glass window in this incredibly hot, stuffy studio from the producer, who's saying, I've got to wrap it up, which I'd love to do. And, of course, what you're all eagerly waiting for is the final score. But it's very difficult to talk and add up. So what I will do, while I'm adding up, I will recite an odd ode. All right. Dorchester. I can't do two things at once, you know. You can't do that. Never mind. Well, I'll do this ode anyway, because it's a bit of fun, isn't it? And we'll have to do it quickly, because they're going to develop the Charles Street site, and then it will have gone out of fashion. Dorchester, an ancient place with Stone Age wooden henge, stands beside the River Frome, 100 miles from Penge. A Roman town, the county town, with administrators plenty, and at its heart, o'er baths and henge, a car park, nightly empty. What shall we put there? Pondered planners. They asked the people, they showed some manners, but 4 great schemes have fallen through. 3 councils think, what shall we do? The crier's answer to this riddle, dig a ditch. Divert the piddle. Let's a great lagoon create and, like Romans, bathe in state. Ladies and gentlemen, I have added up. I didn't know I was able to do that. And the scores are quite extraordinary because we actually have the Fossils, Rodney and Linda, had a total of 10.25. And the artists, Alistair and Kathy, finished up with 10. All right, and 5/16, which is quite amazing. So we do actually have a winning side, but only just by 1/16 of a point. Listen in the same time next week when there will be something completely different on Festival Radio. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, the fossils. Thank you, the artists. And thank you all for listening.